The U.S. Supreme Court is looking at some strange-looking maps today. Two cases on redistricting up for oral arguments. It's the question of whether certain districts were purposely drawn to pack African-American voters into majority-minority districts, thereby lessening their overall representation in the state legislature or Congress. In McCrory v. Harris, the court will determine whether to uphold a lower North Carolina court decision which ruled that two congressional districts were artificially packed with minorities. And in Bethune-Hill, the Virginia State Board of Elections justices will consider whether Republican representatives in Virginia gerrymandered a dozen districts for the same purpose. In the Virginia case, the lower court ruled those districts actually to be legal. Richard Berfault is a professor at Columbia Law School who focuses on the laws of process in government and this very arcane subject, but we're thrilled he's here. Richard, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Is this sustainable, this current crazy, drawn, gerrymandered districts situation that the Supreme Court is going to be looking at?
Well, it creates all sorts of difficulties. And on the one hand, it really is in tension with some basic ideas of democracy. On the other hand, it's been very hard for the court to come up with clear sort of straightforward rules that aren't themselves incredibly political or incredibly uncertain.
Is that because it's not the court's job? It's the state's job to do this.
It's the job of the states to do it right, but it's very tempting for politicians to do it in ways that favor themselves. So it's unless you either take it out of the politicians' hands, which a handful of states have done through creating special districting commissions, which are at one remove from regular politics, or the court comes up with some sort of tight, manageable, clear-cut rules, which they haven't been able to do until now, we're going to continue to have this gerrymandering thing going on and on, and maybe getting more abusive as the technology gets better and as politicians are able to, practically down to the individual building, figure out how different people are going to vote and move them around. We're not quite there yet, but we're pretty far along.
Does the U.S. Supreme Court and the U.S. judiciary have a test for representative government, that if the population and the composition of the district should fall below a certain ratio, that it doesn't represent a representative district?
Well, there are basically three rules the Supreme Court has. One is equal population, and that's been the rule now for roughly 50 years. Since the 1960s, the Supreme Court adopts the one person, one vote rule. Districts have to be a pretty much equal size. They apply it very tightly to congressional districts, a little less tightly, but still reasonably tightly to state legislative districts. Second is that the districts can't be drawn to what's called dilute minority representation. You can't do it in such a way that it intentionally makes it harder for minority voters to elect their candidates. And that's been supplemented by a federal statute, the Voting Rights Act, that goes beyond just intentional efforts to what's called dilute minority votes and actually look at the effects of other measures which are not – you can't clearly prove intent. And the third issue, the third standard the Supreme Court developed about 20 years ago when it's just proved difficult to apply, is that you can't use race in a way that makes it so predominant that you create strange, bizarrely shaped districts or otherwise violate what are called sort of traditional districting standards like compactness, contiguity, that all the parts of the district connect, respect for political subdivision lines. So those are the three constitutional or statutory criteria that are out there. But those do leave a lot of wiggle room for politicians. And at least the last two on race sometimes come into conflict with each other. On the gerrymandering, the court has sort of had sort of two silos, two ways of thinking about it. One is on party gerrymandering, partisan gerrymandering. And there initially they were reluctant to think about it. Then for a period of time they said, we will consider challenges, but then they never found that any particular plan violated the gerrymander because they said it had to be really extreme. Then a case about a dozen years ago, the court split up and rejected the gerrymandering claim there, and four of the nine justices says we never want to hear a gerrymandering case. We don't think it's justiciable. It's capable of judicial resolution. The fifth justice in the majority, Justice Kennedy, says something along the lines of, I don't think it's justiciable now, but it might be later, and nobody knew quite what to make of that.
What's the issue that the plaintiffs are most weak on here?
Well, I think there are two cases. The challenge in both of them, and the Virginia case I think is tougher for the plaintiffs, is the argument that the court has said that if you can show that race was the predominant factor in some sense. What predominant means is one of the issues here. And so that the legislature basically disregarded most everything else, or the legislature subordinated everything to race. That makes it the districting plan unconstitutional. However, the court has said you can take race into account, particularly if you want to assure that there are a fair number of districts in which minority voters have a fair chance of winning. And the claim of the Virginia case is that the legislature did this in a very mechanical way. They said the districts that are going to be black majority have to be at a certain percentage, 55%. And we're going to make them all fit that, even though a few of the districts in the past were able to elect minority representatives with a smaller share of the black vote. And so the plaintiffs are charging this as kind of a unconstitutional packing, that they're putting an unnecessary number of black voters into these districts with the result of taking them out of the neighboring districts, and that has a partisan consequence too. The Supreme Court a couple of years ago in a case from Alabama said you can't be absolutely rigid mechanical. You have to think about the individual districts. But much of the focus in this case is just how much can you use a kind of a standard of 55% and without showing more, without showing that the specific districts were themselves oddly shaped. And so that's one of the tensions, just how much can a legislature just rely on a kind of a formula?
Just drive through the district.
Yeah, I mean—
Just drive around it. Try to drive around it.
Yeah, but that's the issue, I think, in North Carolina. The Virginia ones, there are some issues about how whether they're oddly shaped, but the real focus is to what extent did the legislature give just too much emphasis on getting all these districts to a certain number, a certain share of black voters. The North Carolina one is about this conundrum of how do you disentangle race from politics and say this was in effect a black majority. One of the two districts at issue, one of them was a black majority district, and they made it much more so. And it was clear that one of the reasons behind it was to make the surrounding districts, which had been Democratic districts, Republican districts, and it succeeded. And but was this about minority representation, or was this about partisan gerrymandering? And if the answer is yes, both, how do you decide whether it's illegal, it's unconstitutional racial gerrymandering?
Richard Berfault is professor at Columbia Law School. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.